bug that's going around. So continue to lift your sisters and friends up in prayer, you know, that they might be well. I just so I don't forget, those of you that are going to be leading your table, in the middle of your table, there are some questions if you want to use those today. Things I want you to remember from last week. If you pray the Word of God, you can be sure that you are praying the will of God. If you pray for a person's spiritual life to prosper, all the other areas of their life will fall into place. As you are praying for people, ask this question: am I praying for their comfort or their spiritual growth? It is not wrong to ask for comfort, but that is not the primary goal of our prayers. The end result of all of our prayer should always be the glorification of the Son in the person's life. Be that woman of God that stands in the gap for your family, your friends, and your world. If you want a better community, you will pray. If you want a better America, you will pray. If you want a strong church, you will pray. Do you want to be like Jesus? Then intercede in prayer for others. And number 10 is just, you know, God wants you to be praying for yourself and others. If they're in trouble, if they're suffering or afflicted, if they need safety and protection, if they're dealing with temptation, if they're sick, if they need mercy. So that means all of us need prayer, right? There's none of us that can't fit in that category. So this morning, did you turn this on, Angie? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, sure. So this morning we're going to talk about the waiting side of prayer, the side of prayer that makes it a little hard sometimes. We want to know why God isn't answering our prayer right away. Sometimes we want to know why He says no to us. And sometimes we want to know why He's not talking at all in our estimation. So today we're going to look at a lot of those things and some scriptures that talk about that. The first thing we're going to talk about this morning is waiting patiently and being persistent in our prayers. Scripture reminds us over and over again to wait patiently for the Lord. If God doesn't answer immediately, we tend to get impatient with God, and we usually stop praying. We think, well, He's not going to answer anyway, or maybe this isn't the will of God. And Satan wants you to become so impatient in your prayers that you give up. Don't let impatience steal the victory that God has for you. Scripture tells us to never give up. We're to seek and we're to keep on seeking. We're to knock and to keep on knocking. We're to ask and to keep on asking. There was a man, and this is a true story, but I lost his name in my little... But anyway, there was a man who owned a gold mine, and he had faithfully mined the gold for a long time, but nothing ever seemed to happen. So he sold the mine. He found out later that he was within 2 feet of striking a rich vein of gold. The man who bought the mine reaped the reward of this other man's hard work. Ask God for renewed strength for your task and pray faithfully no matter how long it takes. God hears and answers, and you may be within 2 feet of that answer to your prayers. Psalm 41 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He turned to me, and He heard me. Psalms 27 says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous, because it takes that sometimes. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. The Amplified says, wait, hope for, and expect the Lord. Be strong and take courage, all of you who put your hope in the Lord. Trust God in your times of trouble, and He will rescue you, and you will give me glory. But sometimes we say, How long, O Lord, must I call out for help and you do not listen, or cry out to you, but you do not save? But God responds, watch. Watch and be astounded at what I will do, for I am doing something in your day, something you would not believe, even if I was to tell you about it. Rejoice because of that and be confident in your hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Don't ever give up when you know you're praying the will of God. Sin in our lives, in our country, in our community can affect our prayers. Psalm 66 says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Micah 3:4 says, then they cried out to the Lord, but he didn't answer them. And at that time, he hid his face from them because of the evil they had done. 1 Kings talks about this too. It says, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because the people have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place, Jerusalem, and confess your name and turn from their sins because you've afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land you gave your people. Sometimes when we live in a country, the sins of the country can affect us, those around us. It may not physically be rain, but it may be other things. But 2 Chronicles 7:14 says there is hope. There is hope because it says, if my people who are called by my name, if the people that know God will humble themselves and pray, and if they'll seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal the land that they live in. The sin of your country and your community always affects you and may affect your prayers. That is why we are told to pray for our country and community. It may be the laws that are passed or not passed that may affect you. It may be the evil that abounds in your community that makes it unsafe to walk the streets. When Israel sinned and was taken into captivity, it affected everyone, and not everyone in Israel was deep in sin. Because we looked at Daniel when we studied him. There were people who were still righteous, but they were taken into captivity too. So we see God's redemptive work and answers to prayers in people like Daniel and his companions. Even though they were taken captive, they lived their lives following God. We also see many of the prophets suffer great loss. They're put in jail. They're put down wells. They're beaten. And many times they give up their lives for the kingdom of God. Following God in an evil culture presents many challenges. But pray for your country and community, and you will reap the benefits. Another thing that I really had never thought about when I thought about reasons why God might not be hearing my prayers was, if we shut our ears to the cry of the poor, our prayers will be hindered. Proverbs 21:13 says, if a man shuts his ear to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. In many of the judgments spoken by the prophets to Israel, they talked about Israel's treatment of the poor and how unhappy God was with them for taking advantage of the helpless. You will note, too, that in the New Testament, the church was always gathering offerings for those that were poor and suffering, selling their property and the things they had so that no one would be without. If we ignore the poor and the suffering around us, God will not hear our prayers. As his representatives in this world, he wants you to touch those less fortunate with his love, expressed in practical ways. Don't accumulate and hoard wealth and possessions. All God has given you is a gift, and he wants you to be generous and share with those less fortunate than yourself. Today we have storage sheds. We go out and rent them when we get so many things so many possessions, we're hoarders. You know, we become hoarders in America. And those of us that I think have been really poor in your life, I deal with this because most of my life has been lived very poor. I didn't have a lot. I wasn't very poor, but I didn't have a lot. And so now that I'm in a position where I have more things in my life, I find myself wanting to hoard. I'm afraid to give away that blouse, you know, that I've worn for 10 years because maybe tomorrow I won't have everything that I have today, which really speaks of lack of faith, because God took care of me when I was poor, and He'll take care of me if tomorrow I am poor again. But it's hoarding and wanting to keep things for ourselves sometimes can come to us in different ways. So all God has given you is a gift, and He wants you to be generous and share with those less fortunate. If you've ever noticed, I got to the wrong page. Everything you have belongs to Christ, and all you possess is His. You are just supposed to be a vessel that passes along the blessings that He gives you to others. Amos 2 says, "This is what the Lord says. The people of Israel have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer. They perverted justice by selling honest people for silver and poor people for a pair of sandals. They trample the helpless and people in the dust, and they deny justice to those who are prayers." Amos says, "Listen to this. You who rob the poor and trample the needy, you can't wait for the Sabbath day to be over and the religious festivals to end so that you can get back to cheating the helpless. You measure out your grain in false measures, and you weigh it out on dishonest scales. And you mix the wheat you sell with chaff from the floor, and then you enslave poor people for a debt of one piece of silver or a pair of sandals. I will never forget the wicked things that you have done." In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius says he was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. And he gave generously to the poor, and he prayed regularly to God. And an angel appeared to Cornelius and said, "Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a remembrance to me." Share the things that God has given you with others that are less fortunate. Let us not be hoarders. Let's not buy storage sheds and put all these things in there, you know. Let's give to people. You know, let's be like the believers in the New Testament, you know, who shared everything they had so that no one went without. Romans 12:13 says, "When God's children are in need, be the one to help them out." Do not pray that the poor will be fed unless you are willing to provide the prayer. Many times you are the answer to someone's prayer. Don't just pray for them, make it practical. We can ignore God's way and try to get God to do things our way, and He will not hear our prayers. Have you laid in bed at night trying to solve the world's problems, mapping out a way to change the situation? I did that last night. I'm a little tired this morning. You'd think I'd learn. We work out problems and then we tell God our solution. And we even ask for His blessings. We become the counselor and He becomes the counselee. We are the ones giving the directions because we think we have the solution. This is an example, a little extreme, but you'll get the idea. We get ourselves overextended. We use those credit cards too much. And then we decide, if we could just win the lottery, and we go out and we buy that lottery ticket and say, "God, if I could win the lottery, I could just take care of all my problems. Everything would be well." So we buy the ticket and we pray all the time for God's blessing. And then we're upset when God doesn't answer our prayers. We thought that was a great solution. God wants us to stop using the credit card and quit overextending ourselves. That's an answer to your prayer. As you begin to obey in all areas of your life, God begins to deliver. Don't reject God's divine plan and demand your own way. He might just allow you to have it your way and learn the hard way. God's way is much better. Proverbs 1:23-33 says, if you had responded to my rebuke, if you listened to the Lord, he said, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. What an incredible thing if we just listen. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored my advice and you would not accept my rebuke, I will in turn laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then you will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they won't find me. Since they have hated knowledge, and they do not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Oh, that we would listen to his voice and keep ourselves out of all the calamity that sometimes we bring into our lives just because we think we know more than God does. God has a plan and answers our prayers as they fit into his plans. If you remember Hannah, she prayed and prayed each year that God would give her a child. But her prayer was not answered. But she didn't give up. Every year she went back and she prayed and prayed, God, please give me a child. And her prayer was answered when the time was right. A time when the nation needed a prophet, a priest, a judge, a man who would lead the people back to God and save the nation from destruction. God needs women. God needed a woman who would give her son back to him. And Hannah, in her desperation, cries out, God, if you will give me a son, I will give him back to you all the days of his life, that he might be totally consecrated to you. God wanted to give Hannah a child, and he did when the time was right. Another example of maybe how this works in a little different way might be Joseph in prison. I'm sure when Joseph was in prison, he prayed many times, God, could you just get me out of prison? I haven't done anything wrong, you know. Why am I here? But we know because of what Scripture tells us about Joseph that even though he was imprisoned, he recognized that God was in control of his life. And I'm sure he had those days when he wondered, but when the rubber met the road, he knew that God was in charge of his life. And you know what? The answer came to his prayers when the time was right. When the time when he could save the family that he loved so much and the people that he loved so much. He saved many from starving to death. God used him. When the time is right. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. If you're here this morning, be loyal to him. Trust him. If you're in prison this morning and you feel like there's just things that you're suffering, God will deliver you in his time. God is looking for people whose hearts are in harmony with his purposes, people whose lives are dedicated to the things he desires. God is looking for women who will yield to him in the places they are, in the places they work, in the homes that they live in. God is looking for people, for women who will freely give the resources he has entrusted to them and whose heart long for his purpose and plan, not their own. Another reason our prayers might not be answered is Satan fights against our prayers, and sometimes that prevents delays in the answer. Let's look at Daniel chapter 10. Just then, a hand touched me and lifted me up, and still trembling to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. And God says that to you this morning. You are very precious to me. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. And isn't what he's been saying through the whole study. Listen very carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up still trembling, and he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer, but for 21 days the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. And now I am here to explain what will happen to you and the people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. And when he was speaking to me, I looked down at the ground, unable to say a word. And then the one who looked like a man, he touched my lips, and he opened my mouth, and he began to speak, and I said to the one standing in front of me, I'm filled with anguish because of the vision I've seen, my Lord, and I'm very weak. How can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. Then the one who looked like a man, he touched me again, and I felt strength returning. Oh, how he wants to touch us again. Don't be afraid, he says, for you are very precious to God. Peace. Be encouraged. Be strong. And as he spoke these words to me, I suddenly felt stronger, and I said to him, please speak to me, my Lord, for you've strengthened me. And he said, do you know why I have come? Soon I must return to fight against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, and after that the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece will come. But meanwhile, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one helps me against these spirit princes except Michael, your spirit prince. I have been standing beside Michael as his support and defense since the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede. Sometimes we believe that everything that happens in our lives is in the physical realm that we see, and we forget the battles that are going on in the spirit realm. But I tell you, just as that, as the angel spoke to Daniel, God heard you the first day that you prayed. Don't give up. Another reason our answers may not be answered is that God may have said no. And sometimes it's hard to recognize a no answer in our lives, or we don't want to recognize a no answer in our lives. But Jesus, in Luke 22:42, he says, he doesn't want, do you think he was excited about going to the cross? You know, we notice when he gets to the Garden of Gethsemane, sweat drops of blood are coming from, you know, his head. He realizes that in his humanity that this is not going to be a nice experience, you know. And he asks the Lord, you know, and it's never wrong to ask the Lord. He says, you know, is there another way to do this? Can this cup pass from me? But the good thing that Jesus said was, but nevertheless, Father, your will, I'm willing to do what you want to do. And sometimes we have to drink the cup of suffering in our lives. James 4:2 says that we have not because we do not ask. Sometimes we talk to everyone around us about our problems and we share with them, and sometimes we think we've shared with God. But we need to make sure that we've taken that time to present our need to God. That's the way
He set up things. When we have a need, we're to go to Him to pray. Many people say, I don't have time to pray. But they don't tell their employer, I don't have time to come to work. We're in the Lord's army, and He is our employer. Show up for work. We make time in our lives for the things that are important, and prayer is the most important activity you can participate in your life. Sometimes we ask with the wrong motives. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasure. Motive is everything. We can do the right thing with the wrong motive and nullify everything. If you remember, the Pharisees were motivated by public reward. They wanted to appear godly, but their hearts were far from God. But if you remember, they were doing all kinds of good things. You know, I think of the scripture, you know, where Jesus, you know, talks about, I never knew you. And he said, well, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We did all these things for you. And he says, but I never knew you. Just like the Pharisees, everyone thought that they knew God, but their motive was that people would see them, that they would be important in our lives. So make sure that when we pray, you know, our motive, what is our motive to be? That God would be glorified in our lives and in the people that we present to Him. There is unforgiveness in our life. We've talked about this, and I'm not going to say anything else about it, but don't harbor unforgiveness in your life. God will not hear your prayers. And sometimes we're complacent, and I think this is one of the biggest sins in America today. When it comes to responding to God, there are three temperatures. Hot, that means we're responsive to God and we do what He tells us to do. We can also be cold, which is rebellious. We fight tooth and nail to get God to do it our way. Or we can be lukewarm. We can be indifferent. We are tired of the battle and we've given up. Revelation 3:14 tells us that God spits those out of His mouth who are lukewarm and indifferent. Zephaniah says, I will search with lanterns in Jerusalem's darkest corners to find and punish those who sit content in their sins, indifferent to the Lord, thinking that He will do nothing at all to them. Their problem was a lack of knowledge about God. Was not a lack of knowledge about God, but rather it was a lack of willingness to do what they knew was right. Don't let life put you to sleep or become so tired that you give up. Mark 14, Jesus said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for just 1 hour? Sometimes we forget to say thank you. Philippians 4:16 says, in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How do you feel when you give a gift to a friend and they don't even say thank you or acknowledge the gift? Do you want to give them more gifts? When a child is ungrateful for a gift received, do you want to rush out and get that child something else? Be thankful for the many blessings in your life. If God has not been answering your prayers, you know, consider some of the things we said this morning. But I want to say to you, this isn't a negative thing. This is a positive. You know, I want you to look at this. I don't want to come across and saying, you know, shaking my finger at you. The whole point of this whole study is that we might, if there are reasons our prayers aren't answered, let's find out what they are so that we can correct them. You know, let's not labor in prayer, you know, when there's something we can change or maybe correct in our lives or something we didn't see before. This is all to wake us up, you know, to maybe confess something that we didn't even know, you know, we were doing in our lives. Oh, Lord, wake us up so we hear your voice and do what you say. We don't want you not to hear our prayers as we intercede for others. So go through this checklist today, you know, and if God has spoken to you about anything, take care of it. You know, sometimes prayer can be surprisingly potent. Have you been at a table before and you've laid your hands on somebody and God instantly touches that person and changes their circumstances? And maybe the next week you've sat at that table and you've prayed for that another person sitting next to you and you've thought, well, that didn't go anywhere, you know? What's the difference sometimes? You know, I don't know, and Scripture really doesn't give us a black and white explanation. But I'm telling you this morning, begin to see with the eyes of faith the disappointments and the delays in your prayer life, you know. And because there are different disappointments and delays, it doesn't nullify the miracles that you see. You know, we can't explain everything, but I know this, that a prayer in the name of Jesus will always turn death into life, whether I see it with my eyes or not. We need to ask ourselves, am I really committed to prayer and seeking His way? Sometimes when God answers our prayers, we don't even recognize the answer. And sometimes we've forgotten the prayer. And sometimes He didn't answer it the way we wanted Him to, so we're a little ticked at Him. After all, shouldn't He have done it our way? And we forget to say thank you. Sometimes God responds when we pray to a verbal request. Sometimes He responds to a tangible offering, giving that money to the poor person or helping them out. Sometimes we lay prostrate on the floor. And will you get the picture? Whenever we find formulas for prayers, we tend to establish a relationship with the formula. If God answered my prayer when I was laying on the floor, then I think I'll lay on the floor every day. You know, if God responded to this prayer, then I think I'll pray this prayer over you every day because God answered it last time. So don't establish a relationship with a formula. Establish the relationship with God and let Him give you the formula for each time you pray. You know, maybe God keeps us on our knees and we don't hear from Him sometimes so that we have to stay in relationship with Him and seek Him. Maybe He's out to deepen our insight into what we really need to be asking for. Maybe He's trying to broaden our appreciation for His answers in our lives. And maybe we just need to mature a little so that we can use what He gives us wisely and not for our own pleasures. And maybe we're seeking the gift and not the one who gives us the gift. And maybe we've just forgotten to say thank you for all the many blessings in our lives. Our job is to pray and not to get lost in trying to figure out why He didn't answer, why He didn't say no, why we're waiting. God is sovereign, and some things we will never understand. Just as you must trust the surgeon to do his skillful work, even though you do not understand all of his techniques, so God is asking you to trust Him to accomplish His purposes in your lives, even though it may involve surgery you do not understand. Life is constantly filled with circumstances that call on you to put your trust in another person, a surgeon's scalpel, a pilot's skill, a doctor's prescription. All require some faith in their ability to know better, to trust someone to know better than we do. Doesn't it make sense to trust the one who created you to be able to guide you in the way best for you? If you were drowning in the ocean and the lifeguard came to rescue you, would you tell him you'll only allow him to rescue you if he does it your way? The lifeguard knows that if you don't allow him to take over and you fight with him, you will both drown. So he backs off and he lets you struggle some more. If you persist and stubbornly refuse the help, you may drown. Who has the problem? You or the lifeguard? I say this in love, but maybe sometimes we need to quit trying to figure out everything. God is God. Trust Him. And remember, He owes you no explanation. He is the lifeguard, and without Him, you will drown. Romans 11 reminds us, oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge, and how impossible it is for us to understand His decisions and His ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give Him advice? And who has given Him so much that He needs to pay them back? For everything we have comes from Him and exists by His power and is extended for His glory. All glory to God forever. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your own understanding. You're never going to understand God. But I tell you this morning, the word of the Lord holds true, and everything He does is worthy of our trust. God is love, and all He does in our lives is because He loves us. Trust Him. He is worthy of your trust. Thank you, Lord, that You are worthy of our trust. And forgive us for trying to be the potter. And Lord, help us just lay our lives down and be the clay so that You can make the pot that is glorious to You. Thank You, Father, for what You're doing in our lives. Thank You that You are enlarging our borders in prayer. And Father, I pray as we just spend table time today that You will speak to us. You'll give us wisdom. And Lord, help us to follow You in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to say next week, don't miss next week, because we are going to have a fashion show next week. Next week, we're going to learn how to wear the armor of God. Do you want to be a fashion expert in the kingdom of God? Don't miss out. You might be the next best dressed person in the kingdom of God.